It's 828, 93.5 WMWV in the morning. We have the honor of welcoming U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen to the morning show.
Hi, Senator. How are you today?
Good morning, Roy. It's good to be with you.
It's wonderful to be with you, and thank you for taking time again to join us. I know you joined us on one of our drive times back a few weeks ago, giving us an update on everything that is going, and things are happening so quickly. I hope, first of all, you and your family are doing well and are hunkered down there in southern New Hampshire.
Well, thank you. Everybody is doing well. We have my oldest granddaughter has type 1 diabetes, so we're very careful.
Mm-hmm.
We've watched her out the window as we drive by, and but haven't had a chance to actually see her and be with her for a while, but she's doing well, and we're grateful for that.
And that's a really hard thing about what's going on now, especially with people with concerns. But it's been funny. Local schools around here have taken caravans of cars and driven by the kids' homes and waved to them, and, you know, we're doing what we can. It's amazing the spirit of humanity, even when times are dire, really.
It really is. You know, my youngest granddaughter turned 16 a couple of weeks ago, and her mother organized a car parade. And, you know, we must have had 20 cars driving by the house, honking and waving, and she was totally surprised. So it was really fun to see her.
Really nice. Well, it is the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and I know that's very much a focus of yours. We'll get to that in just a second, but first I would like to start off with the fact that we're running a story today, and it's amazing how much work has been accomplished in all levels of government, really, in such a short amount of time with bipartisan efforts. And the story we're running is about the state hospitals and their concerns about the future. They're facing shortfalls in the hundreds of millions of dollars per month, and they are calling themselves actually in critical care, but you've been busy trying to help out with that.
Well, our hospitals did a great job. Early on, they suspended all elective surgeries because they were concerned about being overwhelmed by coronavirus patients. And so they voluntarily did that. And what we've seen is, thank goodness, we haven't had the kind of surge in patients in New Hampshire that we thought we might have. But hospitals have lost significant amounts of their revenue. We've had a number of hospitals that have had to furlough or lay off workers, which is a huge challenge. We want to make sure that after we get through this pandemic, our hospitals are still operating, they're still able to be financially secure, so they can continue to provide the services they provide. You know, Memorial Hospital in Conway, North Conway, does a great job for the region. The Androscoggin Valley Hospital up in Berlin does mm-hmm. a great job for the region, and we need to make sure that these hospitals are continuing to be able to operate and bring back their employees. So we, in the third package of relief that passed several weeks ago, we were able to get over $100 billion to help hospitals, nursing homes, people on the front lines. In the package that just passed the Senate yesterday, we got an additional $75 billion for hospitals. So it's very important that we continue to provide that relief for hospitals so they can hopefully not have to lay off any more workers. Hopefully they can continue to provide the services that we all need, the health care that we need, and that when we get past this pandemic, that they're able to be as strong as they have been before going into the pandemic.
And I think that leads also into the fact of trying to get the economy back working again. I know people are champing at the bit and being staying at home as much as possible, maybe taking their walks around the neighborhood and doing different things to try and get out here and there and keeping social distancing. But it seems like everybody really wants to get the economy running again, which of course is the goal. But I still think, and I've been saying this on the radio, that we have to be careful and we have to take time and we have to make sure we do it right.
Well, absolutely, and we have to follow the science. That's mm-hmm. the really important piece there. I know everybody wants to go back to work. Everybody in my office is anxious to get back to work. We've all been working remotely, and we've got a lot of people who have been laid off who aren't able to work remotely who we want to get back to work. But what we don't want to do is open up the economy too fast in a way that means that this coronavirus comes back and we have to close everything down again
right.
and have an even greater extended period of time before we can reopen. I know the governor has appointed a task force to make recommendations for opening back up the economy here. There are federal guidelines that are based on the science of what we need to be looking at as we open things up again. One of those is that There are 14 days of a reduction in the number of people who test positive for the coronavirus. And a major piece of this, Roy, is making sure that we have the testing that we need mm-hmm. in order to know who is still at risk, who may be currently have the virus, and who can go back to work safely. So we don't just need the diagnostic tests to say who has the virus, but we need the antibody tests to tell us who may have had it without realizing
right.
it. It's one of the things that's most insidious about this disease is that a lot of people have had it and they don't know they've had it because they don't have symptoms. So we need to ramp up that testing. There's, as I said, there's $25 billion in this package that just passed the Senate yesterday that would help with getting that testing ramped up. It's something that's absolutely critical if we're going to open back up our economy.
And I know we all look forward to that for sure. And one thing on a little brighter note, I know it's one of my favorite days of the year, Earth Day, and it's my sister Kathy's birthday today. And
happy birthday, Kathy.
And it's also the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, and this is something that's very near and dear to you, living in the state of New Hampshire, even further north here as we look at the snow-covered Mount Washington, which unfortunately we can't play on right now because of what's going on. But I've also something that I've noticed is I've been reading reports of drops in pollution around the world is kind of an interesting side effect of this whole pandemic.
Well, it really is, and it shows the connection between human activity and what's happening with pollution on the Earth. So, yes, we're seeing, if you look at pictures of over China, for example, Beijing before the pandemic and after they had suspended a lot of their activities to respond to the coronavirus, the pictures are dramatic. We're seeing that fish are coming back to the canals in Venice because the activity has decreased so dramatically. And the Himalayas can be seen now in India from places where they could never see them because of the pollution. So we're seeing a decline in pollution. Nobody wants that to happen this way.
Right.
But it reminds us just how much we have an impact on what happens on this Earth and how, given that, we can do something about it, and I think that's positive, and that's really the message of Earth Day. It is that it's very important. The Earth is important to all of us, and it's our future for our children and grandchildren, and we need to do what we can to protect it and make sure it's there for the next generation.
I know it's kind of funny, but I come into work at about 4:30 in the morning to get ready for the morning show on 93.5 WMWV, where we're chatting with Senator Jeanne Shaheen. And the first thing I do is look up, and if it's a beautiful, starry morning and kind of calm, and I take a second, and especially right now, I've been thinking, you know, this whole universe and everything is just going on without us, and it really doesn't care about what we're doing as far as humans because we're so minute in the big picture, but we do need to take care of our Earth.
We do, and, you know, that's one of the other things people say, that you can see the stars so much more clearer now. I need a telescope. I'd like to be able to look at the night sky through a telescope and see the stars, but you can see it just outside as well. And it is a reminder about how important what we do is to in preserving the Earth, and it's one of the things, one of the real successes this year that was a big bipartisan success mm-hmm. was permanently authorizing something called the Land and Water Conservation Fund,
mm-hmm.
which provides resources not just to protect our big attractions like national parks, but it provides resources so that we can protect a lot of our open spaces and in our communities so that we don't have to go to the White Mountains. Beautiful as they are, and much as I love to go there, but we can go outside in our local communities and we can walk trails and we can enjoy the outdoors. And it's something that I think, as all of us have been trying to get through these last month and a half, one of the nice things has been the number of people that are now going outside, who are walking, who are taking this opportunity to enjoy being outdoors.
And one of our local gardening centers is saying they've had a huge increase in seed sales, and people are planting gardens, and they're going to be getting their own vegetables. I mean, in the big picture, maybe something good can come out of all of this.
I hope so, Roy. The other thing that I think has been encouraging to see is how many people are helping each other.
Yes.
Neighbors helping neighbors, taking care of people who are on the front lines, meals being delivered to first responders, people cheering our healthcare workers. That's been really encouraging. I hope that spirit will continue after this pandemic is over, because that kind of cooperation is so important to the future of America.
I hope our memories aren't short. I agree with you 100%. Senator Jeanne Shaheen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know how hard you're working, and we totally appreciate your efforts. And working bipartisanly is really something special, I'm sure, as it can be a lot of headbanging from time to time. But I'm really happy that you were able to join us this morning. We wish you the best, and we'd like to maybe get together with you again as we get to the other side of this whole thing.
Well, thanks very much, Roy. I have enjoyed it. I hope all of your listeners will stay safe and well. And if we can be helpful in my office, they can go to shaheen.senate.gov, G-O-V. We have a resource page there that connects people to programs that are here to try and help people through this period. And you can also call my office, 647-7500, and we can help. So I hope, as I said, everybody stays safe and well, and hopefully we will be through this most difficult part of the shutdown soon.
All right. Oh, and I would like to send a big shout out to Sarah Weinstein for setting up this interview, too. She's great.
Yes, she does a great job.
All right. Take care, Senator. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
There's Senator Jeanne Shaheen on 93.5 WMWV in the morning.